Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 70, all stanzas. Judge my integrity. The righteous judge thou art. Prove me, O Lord. Examine me and try my inmost heart. Psalter number 70, stanzas 1 through 5.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, but first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 20, John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, but for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning both Dustin and Brooke Grisnick, who must be in the hospital in this coming week. Also, Mr. Martin Outshorn Sr., the father of Mr. Ben Outshorn, is in serious condition in the Lethbridge Hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art above and we of the earth, Thou who hast, as we have read, set aside Thy Sabbath day to be kept by us, Thou who hast instituted the ministry of Thy holy word, Thou who hast given instruction unto Thy disciples in order that they may also instruct others, Thou who hast sent forth Thy servants even unto the end of the world for the gathering, for the instruction, for the comfort of Thy church, we are before Thy countenance in this morning hour. And it is Thy own institution that we have come up under. Lord, we in an outward way have been obedient unto Thee in this morning. And then it is not that we can lay before Thee integrity in our hearts, because then we must say that our hearts, they are so deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And our motives and our ends, they are not upright and they are not pure in Thy sight. But in an outward way, we have come up with our children, and Thou hast given that we may do so in obedience unto our parents, in obedience unto Thee out of Thy word. And Lord, then for the rest, for the spiritual blessing, for the right hunger, for the right thirst, we are so dependent. That is not what we can bring forth in this morning. And we can only do it out of form and out of custom. But Lord, Thou hast Thyself instituted these means for a purpose, that Thou wouldst bless them for the upbuilding of Thy kingdom, for the salvation of souls, and for the glory and for the honor of Thy name, by beginning here in this world and then to that great and never-ending eternity. And Lord, therefore, we beseech Thee, and when we have come in this morning before Thy face, and when each and every one of us do sit and stand here in this hour, to beseech of Thee that which we cannot give unto ourselves, that Thou, O Lord, may look down upon us from heaven, from Thy dwelling place, where Thou art seated upon Thy throne at the right hand of Thy Father, and Thou who hast all the power in heaven and in earth, Thou who hast already finished the meriting of that great salvation for Thy church. Thou hast said in Thy holy word that Thou would send the Comforter, Lord, that Thou may look upon us then. We have read it in Thy holy sight. We have read it to the ears of this our flock. Oh, that Thou may then look upon us, and that Thou may do as Thou hast said, and that Thou may come in this morning hour, and wilt Thou bless us with the presence of Thy Spirit, that we may be given that life, that may begin to hunger and to thirst after Thee,
May we be given that life from Thee that shall never die, that may begin to serve Thee and to seek Thee, that may begin to love Thee, and that may begin to see the preciousness of that great sacrifice which Thou hast made, that it may become so necessary and precious in our eyes, that Thou hast come from Thy holy habitation, and that Thou hast given Thyself so willingly, even for such that had rebelled and that had sinned against Thee. O Lord, the God of the heavens and of the earth, O Lord, Thou covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, oh, that Thou may lend to us in this morning hour a hearing ear from heaven, Thy dwelling place, wherein all the power and the glory is. And we are in our misery and wretchedness here upon the face of the earth. And then, Lord, there is nothing from our side but sin that we are able to show before Thy holy countenance in this morning. But we beseech Thee that Thou may, through Thy only begotten Son, that Thou may look upon us with our dear children, and that Thou may grant us that life that we cannot give to ourselves when we are lying, O Lord, in a state of death. Oh, we acknowledge that we have left Thee, and we have acknowledged that we have sinned against Thee in our deep fall. In Adam, our covenant head, oh, we acknowledge that our heart that has become so corrupt that there is no desire after Thee, but Lord, that all lies in Thy power. Oh, come then in this Thy holy day, look upon us in Thy mercy, and draw Thou near. Oh, send, Lord, speak one word, and to send forth Thy Spirit, who is able in a moment to dwell amongst us, and who is able in a great way to go with power from heart to heart, that Thou may look also upon Thy children. Oh, look on those, the little lambs of Thy flock, that are just born within the flock of Thee. Oh, that Thou may take them up as Thou sayest in Thine arms, Thou the great shepherd of Thy sheep, and that Thou may lead and that Thou may carry them in Thy bosom. Oh, that they may feel something of the love of Thee, and that Thy care that is about them moment by moment, and that Thou may give also instruction as the great prophet of Thy church, that Thou may be in the midst of us. Oh, come then with Thy Spirit to give us words to speak, and to give the matter in our heart and the words on our lips as Thou hast promised unto us. For the labors wherein that Thou hast placed us in the midst of this flock, that it may, O Lord, be to their welfare, that Thy children also may be instructed. Thou knowest also that sacrament that Thou hast instituted when Thou wast yet here, before that Thou hast risen again, before that Thou hast descended into heaven, that Thou hast left behind for Thy church, a blessed sacrament for the strengthening of true faith. Oh, that Thou may look on us, Lord, in the poor times in which we are living, our ignorance that is so great, and our faith that is so, so very small. And Lord, that Thou may look on us in mercy, and that Thou may bless Thy word and Thy sacrament, that in this week also that we have entered, and when we are to prepare for the coming week, that Thou may give wisdom, and that Thou may give Thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure, and that Thou may come amongst Thy own children, to give them clarity in the work that Thou hast begun, and that Thou may show them that it is not a work of their own, but that Thou may show them that it is Thy own work, that Thou may confirm it unto them by a word from Thee, and that Thou may fill them with a desire to show forth thy death till thou dost come. O look on us, O Lord, and when we know nothing of the first beginnings of that work of grace, O thou can change it in a moment. O that there may be a holy jealousy born in this day. Thou who art able and who hast the heart even of kings in thy hand, O that thou may humble us, and that thou may bring our pride in the dust, and that thou may show thyself to be God, and that thou may work a great work within those who are still traveling for their own account, and so that thou may look upon us for the need of our souls. Look on us also in the need of our bodies, in all the needs of this life. Look thou upon him and that has been brought to the hospital, the father of our brother deacon. Lord, that thou may remember him in the seriousness of his condition, wherein so suddenly he has learned of the great sickness of his body. And, Lord, the seriousness of that condition, oh, that thou may strengthen him under this heavy weight, and that thou may visit him also from above, and that thou may prepare him for that great meeting with thee. Give wisdom to the doctors, that they may be enabled to treat him, could it please thee, yet to spare him for wife and children and grandchildren. And Lord, look thou upon each and every one, for we travel to a great eternity. We have no realization thereof from our side, but it must be laid upon our hearts. Look thou upon the two little children in one family that must be together in the hospital in this week. Lord, thou knowest the surgeries that need to take place, that thou would guide the physicians in mercy, that thou may help them, that thou may give strength and healing for the bodies, and that thou may strengthen the parents also in these ways. Lord, bless the means for body and soul together. Look thou then upon us in this morning hour, that thou may go before us in the preaching of thy holy word. When thou art in heaven and we upon the earth, then we have no rights to lay before thee. But Lord, we have only to plead upon thy mercy and to plead upon thy good pleasure. But would it not be to thy honor, Lord? Or would it not be to thy great glory when a great number amongst us would be born again? And when thy children may receive courage, and when they may receive faith and exercise, that they may speak of the wondrous ways of God, and when the Holy Spirit also may be glorified and honored, oh, that thou may remember us then, and forsake us not, and leave us not to go our own way, but remember and magnify thy great name. Forgive all that is sinful and keep us from all iniquity. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6, with joy and gladness in my soul. I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 348, 1, 2, 4, and 6. congregation a few weeks ago, then we have considered out of God's holy word that the bride has declared, "The king hath brought me into his chambers." Thus, as she has spoken about something so very special, she has spoken about that place where the Lord has revealed to her something of his secrets, where that she may dwell in the communion with this bridegroom, that he hath brought me into his chambers, that he has shown unto me his way, that he has revealed unto me something of the greatness and the glory of his treasures. Thus, there are, in the life of God's people, special times. There are special seasons in their life. There are times wherein the Lord is in a special way revealing himself unto his children. And in a subjective way, that means that is within their own heart, then those times and those seasons are not known unto them. That is, that the Lord, he is showing himself to be a surprising God, that he is coming so often in a time that that church of God is least expecting that the Lord would come. Therefore, young people, then we should never leave our place empty in the house of God. But now, in an objective way, there are stated times, there are stated seasons wherein the Lord is working. Well, we think, for example, of the Sabbath day. That is a special day that the Lord is especially working in the life of his church and in that house of God under the ministry of the word to gather his church to himself, to give children a new heart, and to feed his church, to comfort his church. That is in his house, and that is also in the administration of the holy sacraments. That is a special season wherein the Lord desires in a special way to commune with his people and to bring his people into his chambers, to reveal his secrets and to show to them his glory, and to share it with them. How that such a holy God is able to commune with such a sinful people, that is only to be found in the mystery of the Son of God. That is only to be found in the mystery of him who is truly divine and at the same time man, and who has taken upon him the sin of his church. Now we know that the Lord Jesus had said to the Samaritan woman that God is a spirit, and as such, then he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. But what did Paul say? He said, "I am carnal. I am sold under sin." And thus, when the Lord would come down upon Mount Sinai, and when the Lord was going to show himself, and when the Lord was going to speak to the children of Israel, that would be a special time, a very special season. Then the Lord said to the children of Israel, "You must now prepare for this, because I am a holy God,
and you are now a sinful people. And if you will have me to commune with you, if you will have me to speak unto you, and then you must prepare yourselves. Because you are so sinful, because you are so carnal, then you must, as we read in God's word, you must sanctify yourselves.
Such is the preparation that is due unto the Lord by us for every Sabbath. How, congregation, do we prepare for the Sabbath day? Is that for us the same as every day? Or maybe worse than every day? That we have no preparation? Is there preparation, mothers, in your homes? That everything that is made ready, that we do not have to do our labors on the Sabbath day? Is there preparation, fathers, in the fields, that as much as possible we do not have to labor on the Sabbath day? That is one thing, that is outward. How is it with the inward preparation? When we will come to God's house upon the Sabbath day, then is there a meditating upon the need of our soul? Or are our first thoughts, are coming to us when we are sitting in God's house under the prayer, under the reading? Is there no then preparation for our soul upon the Sabbath day? And that is, of course, in a very special way for the Holy Supper of the Lord. When the Lord says that he will administer his graces in the midst of his church, then he says there also must be preparation for this, because I am holy and you are sinful, you are carnal. And there must be preparation in an outward way, yes, because when we will have communion, then there must be the ability to have communion. And when there is something that is between us that we have never taken out of the way, then it is not possible to have communion. It is not so that we must agree in everything in this world. That was not so also with the apostles, with the disciples. But what does the apostle say? He says that if you will bite at one another, he says, and you will devour one another, he says, then you must be careful that you are not going to consume one another. Thus, in an outward way, those things must be taken out of the way. But in a special way, there must be a spiritual preparation. That is not, congregation, only, let us say, young people, that is now for God's people. Because that Holy Supper of the Lord, that is not for me. I do not know anything of those matters. Then God's children, they have a week of preparation, yes, but now I, well, that has nothing to do with me. That is not so. Because even when we are not permitted to attend because we have no church rite, then we must examine ourselves whether we actually have a divine rite. And then it is our purpose in this morning to begin the to help with this preparation. And then we wish to do this out of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. So far, the words of our text. The bride asks after the feeding place of the flock. First, her address to the bridegroom. Second, her request of the bridegroom. And third, her answer from the bridegroom. But this morning, actually, we wish only to consider that first point, and the second and the third point, the Lord willing, on Wednesday evening. Thus, this morning, the bride's address to the bridegroom, thus it is, O thou whom my soul loveth. And in that address, we see two things. First, that her soul loves. She says, my soul loveth. And second, whom her soul loves. O thou whom my soul loveth. Thus the bride's address to the bridegroom. And in that address, she reveals that her soul loves and whom her soul loves. We have heard, congregation, that the bride, she was speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. And what did she say, children? Do you remember what she said to the daughters of Jerusalem? She said, I am black. Do you ever feel so black, boys and girls? Do you ever feel so black as that bride did feel? Black in the sight of God and black in the sight of men? The Lord can give that to you when you are young, and you must ask the Lord for this already when you are young. Because that is not something that we see with our own eyes. That is something that the Lord Himself must show to us. And then it does not matter if we are 5 years old or 100 years old. No, then the Lord can open our eyes to show to us what our blackness is. And that is so necessary, but then she may say also something else. Is that not so precious? That she says, I am not only black, that I am not only black as those tents of Kedar, but she says, I am also comely. Oh, I am also comely as those curtains of Solomon. I am comely because of the bridegroom. I am comely because I am washed, because I am justified, because I am sanctified, because there is a complete redemption for my soul. And now when she finishes talking to these daughters of Jerusalem, then she is turning again unto the bridegroom. And she is speaking to the bridegroom, and she is asking that bridegroom a question. She is asking the bridegroom for direction, for instruction. She says, tell me. Oh, do we need to do this also, congregation, that we feel with that bride what our ignorance is? Or do we know it? Or do we know it because we have read it in the Word of God? And because we have been instructed in the doctrine from our youth. That is not what we hear out of the mouth of this bride. But that bride, she is saying, she is asking the bridegroom to tell her, to take away the ignorance that is within her heart, to open her eyes, to show her something. And then when she speaks to him, she addresses him. Do you do that too, young people? You speak to your father, to your mother, to your teacher, whoever it may be, that you give to them a proper address. Then how is it when you speak to the Lord? Oh, how is it that you appear before Him? Do you appear before Him in such a common way? Do you appear before Him with common language? And do we appear before Him slouching young people in our seats? Oh, what do we hear from this bride? She is addressing that bridegroom. And what does she call that bridegroom? She says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. What a blessed title. Do you not think that that was so pleasing in the ears of that bridegroom? That she may hear something. And that he may hear how that she speaks of the relation that is between her and him. Oh, then she speaks of that relation. And she speaks about the condition of that relation. Because she says, it is thou whom my soul loveth. Oh, thou whom my soul loveth. Thus, in the first place, she speaks about her soul. Do you have a soul, congregation? Do you have a soul? Say, yes, I have a soul. How do you know you have a soul? Well, say, I read it in the Word of God. The Lord, He has created man. He formed man from the dust of the earth. And then we read that He has breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And therefore, I know that I also have a soul. Thus, man is not just a body, but man also has life. He lives, he breathes, he has a soul. You say that is the same also of the animals. The animals also live and they move. They have a being. They're not as a rock. They are not something that is just dead. They are not as the dust of the earth. Thus, so the animal also, he has a spirit, he is living. And in that sense, man, he is also the same as those animals. So that is one way in which that word soul is often being used. That is of the spirit of man or the spirit of the animals. The animal spirit that is in man. But congregation, that is not the end. Why? Because man is not the same as the animals. Did you ever desire that it was so? That you would say that there was no life after death? The dead would be dead for me just like the animals. That when I would die, that I would not have to appear in judgment. That there would be for me no eternity. Because often when the Lord is giving in the life of a person the realization that they have a soul, Then they are wishing that indeed they had no soul at all. By nature, congregation, we don't realize we have a soul. Yes, we know that in our mind. But that is all. And if we have never come to that realization in our life that we have a soul, and that we are created for a never-ending eternity, then you should not come unto that holy supper of the Lord. Why? Because that is something that so very clearly belongs to that new life. And without this, then we have not that new life. O thou whom my soul loveth. Thus that bride, she takes notice of something. She takes notice of her soul. She takes notice of what her soul is doing, that it is loving. Thus she takes notice of the inner workings of her being, the inner workings of her heart. Do you take notice of those things? Or is the only thing that we notice in our life all the things that are going on in this world? And that we do not look upon and that we do not examine what are the thoughts and the intents of our heart. The deepest that it goes with us is our feelings. Sad, glad, depressed. But we never think of what our motives are. We never think of what the desires are of our heart. Thus the bride, she is recognizing, she is examining what is going on within her soul. My soul loveth. In our deep fall, we have become dead. Dead in trespasses, we read, and in sins. But that does not mean that we don't have a soul anymore. That does not mean that we are no longer a spiritual being. The bride, she says, my soul loveth. And that is true of every soul in this world. Because love, that is an affection of our heart, our soul, that is of a living, of a rational creature. That is not something that lies in the dead. The dead cannot love. Because we read the dead, they don't know anything. Thus our children can understand it. So that spiritual death does not mean that man no longer has a soul. No, he still has a soul. What does that mean then? Well, it also does not mean that man is also not spiritual. Does not mean that he has lost the spirituality of his being. It is true, he is very carnal. It is true that man is very materialistic. It is true that man cleaves to the dust. He is of the earth, earthy. But if you go through all the regions of the world, then you will see that man also cleaves unto religion. Why? Because man is a spiritual being. That is not true of the animals. They have no religion. And when man has fallen dead in trespasses and in sins, then he did not lose the spirituality of his being. He still retains a conscience. He still retains an innate knowledge. He still knows that he is responsible. He still realizes that he is accountable to a creator, to a God who exists. But what does that mean? That he has fallen dead? That means that he has lost that image of God. That he has lost the knowledge of God in which he was created. He does not know him anymore. And that is why you see him. He is worshiping the sun. He is worshiping the earth. He is worshiping anything, all kinds of idols. Because that spirituality of his being is there, but the knowledge of that God in which he was created, he has lost. The knowledge, the righteousness, the holiness, that image of God. So his soul loves, yes, his soul loves that which is false. His soul loves that which is idolatrous. His soul loves that which is deceitful. That is all the consequences of our fall and that good relation that he had unto God that is broken. So that he does not love him anymore. Thus that deep fall, thus the death of man, that does not have to do with loving in itself. It has to do with the object of his love. What is it that man loves? What is it that man does not love? That is our second thought. Whom her soul loves. O thou whom my soul loveth. in congregation in this week, then we need to lay ourselves next to that holy word of God. And we need to lay ourselves next to the life of the true people of the Lord. That we say, is that now my life? Is that now my experience? And if our life is not written in the word of God, then you must put a big question mark behind what you think that you have experienced in your life. And then it is necessary that we examine ourselves deeper than just the natural matters of our life. And that we are looking at the inward workings of our soul. That we must ask ourselves, especially after the object of our love. Why? Because in regeneration, there is a great change in man's affections. In regeneration, a great change in our affections. And we have no right unto the table of the Lord without regeneration. A man does not need to be told to love himself. No, that we all do. We did not lose that in our deep fall, the love for ourselves. Nor does man lose the love for himself in regeneration. Thus, in that new life, then man continues to love himself. That is part of the nature of man that has been created in man by God, to love myself. But what is it that the Lord says in his law? He says, you must love God and you must love your neighbor. That is now what man lost in his fall. That is now what man had in his creation and what he has no longer. And it is that love to his neighbor, we read, that is flowing out of the love to God. So love to God, that is the very first thing that is being worked in that day of regeneration. O thou whom my soul loveth. Children, young people. Solomon, he says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, if the Lord gives to you children a new heart, then no one will have to tell you to remember your Creator. Why not? Because that is now the work of the Spirit. He will give you to remember your Creator. Oh, you will remember Him. You will think upon Him every day. No, maybe not every hour, because you have also to do your work. But time and time again in your whole young life, then that thought of God that is going to come back to you. And then there will be a certain dread of Him. A certain dread of Him. Why? Because the psalmist says, the thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. Thus, congregation, we may ask ourselves, have we ever had the thought of God? And it cannot but be that there will be a certain dread. And why? Because by nature there is a broken relationship with Him. And we will feel this. Cannot be otherwise. Because the Lord's wrath is upon us. Because we have broken His law. Because we have sinned against Him, because the judgment of the Lord that is lying upon us, because our conscience is speaking, Thus in regeneration, then there will be a certain dread of Him. There will be no peace because of our thoughts of Him. But when it is the true work of God, then there will also be something else. And what is that something else? There will also be love. That is incomprehensible, maybe. But there is such an incomprehensible drawing, a drawing of God unto Himself. Oh, did you ever see a dog that was beaten by his master? Oh, then you do not see that dog running away from him, but he is crouching closer and closer to his master. All then that dread under that law of God is not causing that people to run away. But there is a drawing that is bringing that people in the dust of self-abasement to bring themselves, if it were possible, closer and closer and closer to God. Why? Because they miss Him. Why? Because they cannot do without Him. Why? Because there is a longing to return to Him. Because their heart desires to be reconciled unto Him again. And congregation, without His love, we miss the new life. We miss the new life. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is not a work whereby the children of the Lord are being chased away from God. But that longing of the psalmist, that will not be strange to that people. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so longs my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, when shall I come and appear before God? O Thou, whom my soul loveth. Is that also not strange language to us, that love that has its fruits? And it is that love that makes a man sorrow because of his sin. Sin is not a grief when there is no love. Sin is a dread. Sin is a burden to our conscience when there is no love. And we dread the consequences of our sin. That belongs to every man. But that is not the sorrow for sin. Cain wept. Esau wept. Saul wept. Judas wept. All without that love. What did David say when he wept? He said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, congregation. That was his burden. It was against the Lord. And it was against the Lord whom he loved. Do we know something of that love? O thou whom my soul loveth. That is that love that makes a man take up his cross cheerfully and to bear his burden that the Lord is placing upon him. It is that love that makes him willing in the day of the power of the Lord. You do not have to force that people. It is that love that made Ruth say to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't talk about it anymore. Do not say it anymore. No, because it did not matter what was coming for her in her life. Whatever burden and whatever persecution and whatever affliction that lay before her, O thy God, my God, that was that love that drew her. O thou whom my soul loveth. It is that love that makes that people to be burdened with the desecration of the Lord's day, with the desecration of the name of the Lord. Rivers of waters run down their eyes with the psalmist. Why? Because they keep not thy law. It is that love that makes that people rise up with Phinehas, with a javelin in their hand, in the midst of the congregation. Why? That is for the welfare of the congregation and for the honor of the name of the Lord, that God whom their soul loves. O thou whom my soul loveth. It is that love that makes them mourn their own shortcomings in that love, that makes them mourn their own lack of fruits, that makes them mourn with the apostle, that the flesh that is lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that I cannot do those things that I would. It is that love that makes them low, that humbles them in dust and in ashes before the Lord because of their sloth. Because of their unfaithfulness, because of their lack of zeal. It is that love that makes them so wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This man of sin and death. O thou whom my soul loveth. How is it now, congregation, that we say the beginning of the week of preparation. How does that now lie in our heart if we never have come to love the Lord? Then it is very ill with us. It is very ill with us. Then we are still in that state in which we have been born. And then we should not dare to approach the holy supper of the Lord. But with this we are not finished with our examination concerning the Lord's supper. Why? Because it goes over more than love to God. But let us consider that after we sing from Psalter 439, verse 3, whom have I, Lord, in but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy, but thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning. For thee my troubled heart is burning. And what follows in verse 3 of 439? congregation, the Apostle Paul makes a distinction between being fed with milk or with meat. To the Corinthians, he writes this, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Thus, there is not only a distinction between the dead, who can receive no food, and the living, who need food to continue to live, but there is also a distinction between the living or among the living. That is a distinction between, as we have heard lately, the children, the young men, and the fathers in grace. Thus, to a newborn, our children know, is fed milk. So Peter says, as newborn babes desire that sincere milk of the word, but to the older ones, they need more than milk. They need also bread and solid food. They need meat. And now, what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? And when he has instituted that Holy Supper, then he said to them, do this in remembrance of me. And now, when that bride is speaking unto these daughters of Jerusalem, and she speaks about him, she speaks about that bridegroom, and then those daughters of Jerusalem, they ask him and they say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Thus, these are the daughters of Jerusalem. They are born in Jerusalem. They have citizens' rights, we have said, but they are not yet acquainted with that bridegroom. And thus these need to be fed, as it were, with milk and not with meat. Why? Because they are not yet able to bear it. Now, when it is true in their life, then they are those who have a right to the table of their father. They are those who have a right to the table of the children. And there is not one of them who presumes, there is not one of them who will be sent away, there is not one of them who will be judged, there is not one of them who eat and drink judgment to themselves. Not the smallest one. Yet, we may ask, is it possible that they receive at that table profit yet for their own soul? And why may we ask this? Because what is now that particular food that the Lord is giving to his church at that table, that is to feed them with himself? What does he say? His flesh and his blood. That is this. They are the signs of representation at that holy supper of the Lord. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he said, he hath everlasting life. Thus it has to do with the sacrifice of himself. Sacrifice, children, what office is that belonging to? That is belonging to the priestly office. The priest offers the sacrifice. Thus, that Holy Supper that has something to do not with the prophetical and kingly in the first place, but in a special way with that priestly office. It has something to do with the sacrifice for sin. And the shedding of that blood for the putting away of sin. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth.
And why do they love him? Oh, they love him because of that priestly work. Thus, it is in the first place necessary for them to see something of the need for that priestly work, the need for that sacrifice. Why? Because of my sin, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it is in the second place necessary that he reveals himself, that he shows himself in his priestly work. Otherwise, we do not know anything as we ought to know it. And then we do not speak of the personal application in the life of that people. So that people, that they know that they are justified, so that they know that they are sanctified with that bride. No, we don't speak of this. But that some opening that is given in the revelation of himself to a people who feel what that great need is. And why is this now so necessary? Because this is the place that the Lord is giving that love to that second person. That love to that second person, so that, and that people say not only of God in general, but that they say also of that second person, O thou whom my soul loveth. No, it is not necessary then that the people can embrace him. Not necessary to embrace him in order for that love for that second person to dwell in my heart. What is necessary for that? Oh, it is necessary, it is but necessary that a person see something of him through the lattice of the word. It is but necessary that they are given to see that in him lies everything that they stand in need of. It is but necessary that the eye of faith may be directed in that people to that second person. Was that not the case of Bartimaeus in his need? Is he yet healed? Can he yet see? Is he yet delivered? He is not. And yet, oh, yet he has, as it were, seen him. Oh, he has heard of him, and he has become so precious to him. Why? Because of his power. Because he is able to open his blind eyes. Was that not the case with the lame and the blind and the deaf and the lepers? Oh, then there was a love. There was a certain love. Though they were not yet delivered, though they were not yet cleansed, then there came a longing in their heart, a longing after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, then the eyes are open to see something of him. Oh, then that bride, then that people cannot say with that bride that their sins are forgiven. And yet with the upright, with the virgins, oh, then we read the upright love thee. Oh, yes, because they cannot say yet that they are married unto him. No, but they love him. They have seen something of him, and they will not leave off crying to him until that he delivers them. O thou whom my soul loveth. Congregation, how is it then for our own soul? Is that then also the longing of our soul? Do we know such a longing? O thou whom my soul loveth. Peter, he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Is that also dwelling in your heart, that you may appeal unto the true and unto that living God? Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest that I love thee. O, has the love of the world, and the love of all that is carnal and all that is passing away, oh, has that love become death to you?
Has the love of God, did that ever burn in your heart? Stronger than love to your father, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister, to your sons, to your daughters? Oh, did you ever come to miss him? That you felt it to be your greatest misery, that you were without God in this world? Oh, did he lead you with weeping and with supplications, that you said, oh, if I could only be reconciled unto him, oh, thou whom my soul loveth? Did you ever resolve to return to him? Resolve to return to him with your whole heart? Then I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside.
And did you ever come to despair with such a resolve? Was that resolve, was the possibility ever now cut off for you because you found it impossible to return to him? And did the Lord ever reveal himself in your wretchedness as that new and that living way? Did he ever reveal himself in the freeness of his grace and of his mercy? Did he ever show you something of his only begotten Son? Did he ever speak, as we have read, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? Oh, may you ever behold him then through that lattice of the word, so that your desire that also went out after Jesus. Oh, were you ever given by the Spirit to flee for refuge, to lay hold on that hope that was set before you? That you can say also with this bride, oh, thou whom my soul loveth, because when he shows himself, when he reveals himself, when he opens something of mercy, when he opens something of grace over against that way of works, then our heart that begins to love him, then our heart that begins to long for him, oh, then we come to God's house and we say, oh, let me hear only that name of the Lord Jesus. And then we begin to understand something of that address of the bride, oh, thou whom my soul loveth. That we say, who is there in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. And then we can ask, we can understand that that bride, oh, she is asking, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Tell me something. Oh, tell me what that we want to consider on Wednesday evening. But congregation, what does the apostle say? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be accursed. Accursed. Thus we must examine ourselves for something. And that is love. Love. Does your heart love? Then we must examine ourselves. What does our heart love? What is the object of the love of our heart? And has the love of our heart ever been the same as the love of the heart of this bride? What a judgment. What a judgment when we will stand, children, young people, together we're going to stand there. Together, just as we are here together. Just as we are here together, so real, in this body, with this soul that you have, we are going to stand there before the judgment seat of God. Must you say in your conscience, I have no love for the Lord Jesus in my heart? Must you say that in your conscience? Do you dare to stand there? Do you dare to stand there and say that before him and before his Father, who sent him into the world to seek and to save that which is lost? Do you dare to say that there is no form, there is no comeliness in him, that I should desire the knowledge of his ways? Oh, do you dare to go on that way? Closer and closer every year, every month, every week, every day, every minute, every moment closer and closer to that time that we will stand there. And then he will say, did not obey my law. And when you have not obeyed my law, then I have provided another way. My only begotten Son. My only begotten Son. And you have said, I will none of him. Do you not understand how just that our judgment will be? Oh, how necessary that he become precious in our eyes. How necessary that he become suitable also to our case, whether we are young or whether we are old. And that we also may be given to say with that bride, he is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. O thou, whom my soul loveth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have it not by nature. We cannot give it to ourselves. Lord, we come closer and closer to our judgment and our life that is so serious. It is not only preparation for thy holy supper, it is preparation to die. Because that is coming for each and every one of us. Not only a decision, do I go forward or no? But a decision by thee. Love not my son. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, save us, Lord. Save us from ourselves. And open our poor blind eyes. Forgive thou all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 115, stanzas 1 through 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1 through 4 of 115. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.